Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Cross Culture Church Noonday Bible Study. Today we're in the book of Revelation, and we're at chapter 16. And we're now at 16 at the fifth plague. We did the four plagues. We discussed and read the four plagues and the wrath of God last week. So we're going to finish up the seven plagues, and then we will have discussion. So we welcome all, and let us begin. Can we have a reader reading verses 10 to 11 and 16, please?
And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds.
Okay. Well, we're back with the pain and sores again. We had a rough time last week with sores and blood, and having to have the sinners having to have to drink the blood because of their murdering of the saints. And so now this is the fifth plague, and this fifth plague is the darkness on the seat of the blood, the beast rather. This is the darkness of the seat on of the beast. The fifth plague is poured out on the seat of the beast. It fills his kingdom, that's Satan, full of darkness and causes pain. Those who worship the beast find that not only can he not protect them from the plagues, but the beast itself is exposed because he can't heal, remember? He can't protect them. He can't protect them. And so now we see he's explaining. Now, the Lord said, now the world, y'all love darkness so much and darkness of error, and you hate the life of truth. So what did God do then? He gave them darkness. He said, you want darkness? Give you darkness. You know. So the Lord, you know, he'll let you just run on till you just run over the cliff. And then you'll find out you're going to fall, and you're going to hurt yourself or some other tragic thing. Okay? So those affected by the plagues, you see, they blaspheme God because of their sores and pains. They just call him all. See, in some translations, they get to cussing. Okay? I mean, they calling him all. This is nice, blaspheming. They get to really use some hood words. Okay? And because of their sores and pains. Now, it's likely that these plagues are cumulative, so that now they have sores. Now they have all these sores. They have lack of water. They have scorching heat, withdrawal, and famine, and darkness to deal with at the same time. These are the ones that we have today that call themselves proud atheists, agnostics, and whatever else they can figure out they want to be. Relate to the true and living God. So this is telling you this is it. Now when we look at the drought and famine, we're seeing that now. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that now. There is, I mean, Africa, the countries in Africa suffer greatly with drought and famine. And there are islands where people live that we don't even know about that are now being affected because their whole livelihood depends on the ecosystem of fishing and farming and so forth. And because of the climatic changes that are taking place in there, as we call global warming, it's affecting people that you don't even know about. You know, now we got Ebola cases here in Georgia with children. There hasn't been no adults, but Ebola. okay? Tuberculosis is on the rise again. And there are 18th and 17th century diseases that are springing up again in this country.
Measles.
Yeah, measles. Yeah.
Lack of vaccination, though, sometimes. Yeah. I don't know.
But remember, you are protected. You are protected because you're under the blood. You're under the blood. Now, when things start really getting tight, and it's going to get tight, if we, you know, I would relish to say between now and 2025, this country will not be the same.
I've heard it before.
It will not be the same. And you're already seeing it now with... Oh,
45.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you got, everything ungodly is embraced. Mm. And it's acceptable as the new normal. Mm. Everything ungodly is the new normal. You know, I heard a presidential candidate, I can't repeat, Buttigieg, whatever, I can't pronounce the name, he's openly gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, I love them because I've had professional friends. They get, I even have some in my family. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them in years, thank God. But they, you know. He said, if people say that, oh, if Mike Pence believes that homosexuality is a choice and not you're not born, you know, with this. Then he needs to talk to my creator, my God.
Mm. That's what he said.
That's what he said.
He said his issue is not with him, it's with his creator.
With his creator. Mm-hmm. So we have you know, so now, you know, oh yeah, you know. Then we have and I'm not gonna go on anymore, but just to show you how it's so widely accepted. CNN is one of the most so-called respected, you know, yes, with Don Lemon announcing that he was engaged. And everybody on the little panel was just smiling and congratulating him. And I'm saying, I see one, I'm not going to call any name, that is a practicing Jew, and there's another one that is a professing Christian, and another one's a Catholic. And they are all in agreement. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Mm. Now, I'm going to stop right here and just say this, that Lester Summer, is it Summerall?
Summerall.
Pastor mentioned
his name, Summerall. Yeah, yeah. Years ago, was on TBN, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about homosexuality. This was in the early 90s, late 80s. And there was a gay man that he was interviewing. And Lester Summerall asked him, well, tell us how you make love.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pastor.
You know?
Pastor mentioned.
And so, you know, and that shows you the abomination,
right,
and the grotesque, unnatural actions that are taken for satisfying the flesh. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to go on that, but we do have here in Atlanta, it's now, if you notice, there's a lot of license plates coming from all over the country. Mm-hmm. You'll see Alaska, you'll see all the way to, Oregon and all the Midwest. You see all these, like, these are people who are gay that can't practice that in their own communities.
Really?
So they're coming to Atlanta. They're migrating to Atlanta because Atlanta has openly accepted and embraced. We have gay parade, and we have all this, you know, it's called now Gay Atlanta. It is at outpaced San Francisco.
Yes.
So this is what's happening.
That's right. That's what's coming with this movie culture we are embracing here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that are in that type of industry, for whatever reason, they seem to gravitate toward this, I call it tolerance stuff, that I guess I first started hearing it maybe 10, 15 years ago. And at the time, tolerance was, that was religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tolerating other people's religion.
Mm-hmm.
And now tolerance has gotten twisted that it's embracing this other lifestyle. Same thing, they've also embraced the civil rights. See, like as a black person or woman, different other nationalities, there were certain civil rights that was maybe denied you or whatever, so you was fighting for your civil rights. But like because you was gay, that didn't involve your civil rights. But now it do.
So we see, you see, so I mean, when we talk about darkness, I mean, let's not literally look at it as a light. It's darkness of the spiritual,
the mind,
the eyes, the reasoning and everything. So this is darkness. Uh-huh. This is darkness.
Right.
This is a part of the darkness. We're experiencing it now, today. Can we get someone to read verses 12 to 13?
Then the six angels entered his bowel on the mighty river of Euphrates, and its water was dried up to make ready a road for the coming of the kings of the east from the rising sun. And I saw three spirits like frogs leaping from the mouth of the dragon and from the mouth of the beast and from the mouth of the false prophet.
Okay. We're gonna keep reading to 16 because the note now what was your anybody have any first thoughts on the Euphrates River drying up, and then you got kings who are moving in to war. Now if you got to pass through a territory where the river is and it's drying up, that means you can get over to do what you need to do. Okay, keep that in mind, because there's what we're going to read today, there's something I want to parallel with this right here. So
was it actually blood that was drying up, since
right now we're talking about the river itself. The river, the water right now. Okay, so to keep it in flow, can we have someone do 14 and 15, and then we're going to 14, 15, and 16. Yeah, 14, 15, and 16, yes,
okay.
I'm sorry.
And they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Armageddon.
Armageddon. Armageddon. Okay. All right. Anybody?
Well, Armageddon is a battlefield.
Well, before we get to the battlefield, let's get up here to some of this
other stuff.
Hold on to that one.
Mm. The river, the great river, Euphrates, was dried up, and that's really coming from the Old Testament. I thought I wrote a note on that. But coming from the Old Testament, how the great river would be dried up, and that give gateway to the kings coming from the north, which really is Russia, and all the other armies that will be gathering to come down and make war against Israel. Also, bear in mind that the Euphrates River well, let me say this. The majority of the people in the world is coming from the east. The majority of the people in the world live in the east. You can have, say, 200-300 million soldiers coming from the east versus the west. So whenever you look at Israel, Israel really is notated as being the center of the world, the center of the world. So when you look at somebody say north, south, east, or west, bear in mind that it's based upon Israel being the center. So whatever is north of Israel, they talk far north, I should say, is Russia. And the bear is, what's that guy named? Putin. Putin is prone and ready, but that's down the line. So this great gathering of nations and kings is coming, and he give you a symbol, that's my word, a symbol here, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Notice he didn't say they were frogs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Symbolic, like frogs.
Notice he didn't say they were frogs. He said they were like frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon. Here you have the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, which is the, what that boy named, Satan's trinity.
Okay, hold up right there.
Okay.
Okay, because you're taking too far.
Okay.
Okay, but it's everything that I was going to, but I wanted to, what I wanted to say is that, remember the dragon, and this is Satan, okay? And this, and what is happening at this point is the guise of modern spiritualism, which is all these crazy religions. There's a lot of them. There's the pagan religions and the occult and the New Age movement coming in. And as Brother Bobby said, we have now the three unholy trinity. Unholy Trinity. Somebody brought that up a couple weeks ago. The unholy trinity, which you said is, you know, the dragon, the beast, and the prophet.
Okay.
And these three send out their demonic messengers, and they work their miracles to deceive the nations and gather them to the battle of Armageddon. They intend to carry out the death decree and destroy God's people who have refused to worship the beast. The Euphrates River ran through the ancient city of Babylon.
Right.
Okay, and it was quite literally the life of the city. When the armies of Cyrus the Persian, under his general Darius, overthrew Babylon, they did so by digging channels to divert the water. That's why I wanted you to hold this to divert the water. Okay, the river dried up enough for them to march into the city along the riverbed and successfully attack through the inner river gates.
Have we talked about that in the end?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. The drying up of the Euphrates symbolized a drying up of support for Babylon the Great.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's why we got to, you know, you were going into it, and I wanted to kind of, I didn't want to come behind you. I wanted us to flow, because you got to understand a lot. There's symbolism in Revelation, and there's literal.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be able to understand the difference, because here we're talking about the Euphrates River. Then all of a sudden we're talking about the nations. Well, we're talking about the nations at this time was Babylon. Babylon is being ruled by the ungodly, the ungodly trinity to take over the world. Now, we still got the ungodly trinity out here now. That spirit is here. It's here. Those spirits don't die. they don't die. You know, they just reproduce themselves in the time and the age and the generations. You see, So when things seem the darkest for God's people, for God's remnant people, and they are surrounded by the armies of the unholy trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, as we said, they hear the voice of Jesus. That's the remnant.
Mm-hmm.
They hear the voice of Jesus, who, oh Lord, listen, who is approaching with the host of heaven, proclaiming to the world that these are his people. The attackers realize that they have been deceived, okay, that they are eternally lost. They are filled with terror and withdraw their support from Babylon and turn on her in rage. Somebody read Revelation 17:16.
And the ten horns. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire.
Okay. So those ten horns are the nations. And they are turning. So this fulfills the prophecy that the Euphrates will be dried up. Okay. Now, soon after he conquered Babylon, Cyrus freed the Israelites. Mm-hmm. See, this is why you guys see how Israel. We can't separate Israel from today's political actions or the end times. As God has given us, you can't put Israel out there and say, okay, they are they're over there fighting their war with Al Qaeda and all that and so forth. That's not our problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and you better continue to pray for Israel and their leaders, because remember, when the Messiah, Jesus, comes back, where is he going to reign? In Jerusalem. That's why they fight so hard to keep the Jews from Israel and Jerusalem. Satan wants to get everything. You know, the Jewish people, that's why it's such a... Well, how big is Israel? It's about the size of what?
New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's about the what?
New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
That, you know, it's not... And listen, let me tell you something. Israel has the most superior... security systems. They have the most superior irrigation systems. How? Because it's in the desert. Mm-hmm. How do they produce the most exotic fruits and plants that they produce to send all around the world that brings income and revenue to them? Mm-hmm. When you, the world, nobody wants to talk about, but how do people in Israel get that land to do all that they're doing? See, they know. Today, everyone knows. They don't want to acknowledge it, that they are, God's hand is on the Jewish people.
Right.
Even we see all this foolishness going on, political stuff. His hand is still on. They're still his people. And remember, I said, do not accept replacement theology, that God has taken the church, the saints, the church, the body of Christ, over the Jews. No. Mm-hmm. No. We don't replace Jews. Okay? Mm-hmm. We don't replace Jews. We are with them. We were the wild olive branch grafted in. Mm-hmm. We were the wild he conquered, that is Cyrus, Babylon, he freed the Israelites from captivity. Remember, Cyrus was a friend of and you figure out how was he so good to them? Why? Because God touched his heart. Yes. God touched his heart. And so what we have now is he's allowed them to return to their homes, and Cyrus the king from the east. Oh, I know you want to say this. Cyrus the king from the east becomes a symbol of Christ, the deliverer.
Cyrus,
the deliverer, the Messiah at that time, a symbol, not them, but a symbol of him delivering the people. Okay? God, through the prophet Isaiah, calls him his shepherd and his anointed. Somebody turn to Isaiah 44:24, and somebody please turn to 45, verse 1. 44:24.
Okay, I got
you. And 45:1.
44:24.
Yes, 44:24.
Thus says the Lord your God. No, thus says the Lord your Redeemer.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And he formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drive diviners mad, who turn wise men backwards and make their knowledge foolishness. Continue.
No. So if the Lord says that, then can you see who touched Cyrus's heart?
Mm. Yes.
You know, how they were able to see all since the origin of the Hebrews, they have been warred against and just everything because they were God's chosen. They are God's chosen. Who has Isaiah 45:1 that talks about the Lord? This really shows us where the Lord's anointing of Cyrus, I believe. 45:1.
Thus says the Lord his anointed to Cyrus.
Yes.
Whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places.
Okay. I just wanted you to, you see where Cyrus, see God said, I'll show you, I'll use, and wait a minute, when did he say this? In Isaiah, where are we now?
Amen.
See, so it's just amazing how when you everything ties in, you just gotta, you know, I say be patient, because I speak for myself in trying to understand it. Take your time and ask God, the Holy Spirit, when you read and study, to give you revelation. Because what we're doing here today, we're sharing together, but you may not get the whole essence of it the way you need to get it. But the Lord will give it to you because you're hungry for it. You're hungry for it. Matter of fact, as a saint, you have to have it because it sustains you. You see? So, okay. So now, did you have a question? Yeah, okay.
I was
ladies first. Listen, ladies first.
What did this mean? And I will unarm and ungird the lions of kings. Lions of kings, what is that?
Well, lions of kings is their strength. That's first of all. Lions represent strength.
Okay.
So all
okay.
their strength that they have in their armor, their weaponry, mm-hmm. all of that, their armies and how they... He said, I'll just that right on out here, you know.
And then the next thing is, Bobby was saying that the kings from the east was Russia.
Coming from the north.
Coming from the north was Russia.
The
one due north is Russia.
Then
you're gonna have a king coming from the east also, which is Turkey, Iran.
Okay, so you got to know the map.
Yeah, when that's your assignment. When we get to the Armageddon piece, brother, Bob, I have one. I would like for him to present that part. Okay.
I brought a map and stuck it in here for Sunday school, and I don't know what happened to it.
Well, you should have kept it.
No, I have the house.
Okay. So any brother James, you had something.
I'm just gonna piggyback on Isaiah 44:21. If you go back up, I started reading at 24, but if you went up to 21,
mm-hmm.
it would say, "I remember, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you and you are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. Okay. See?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just want to put that in there about, regardless of what the time is, he said, I will not, you will not be forgotten by me.
That's right.
Forever.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, he don't say up until such and such. It's just.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it interesting, more so than all, that all through, say, 16, you see all these bowls of vials being opened and poured out the wrath of God. And even though no repentance is offered to them, they don't seek repentance.
Mm-mm.
At all. I just find that interesting, you know. They blaspheme, I'm going to say curse. They curse God, they curse the name of God. They call him, you said you read something, some of the
hood names.
Said something, they actually curse, and use some weird words, whatever. God is doing these things, and you see him doing these things, why don't you bow down? Oh, God, please. You know, remember.
Well.
But they won't do it.
That was an answer right here about that. I'm not going to just read it. I'm going to say it. McGee was saying that church people even, that's going to church and being told the word of God over and over, they just cannot believe that this God that is they're hearing about and is being preached as the loving God is going to actually punish this severely. But he was saying in this commentary somewhere, if
God
when
is
you
holy.
Read when you read Revelation, that's a whole different thing there. This is the same God, but he's telling you what he's going to do if you don't do what he tells you to.
You got the opportunity just like anybody else. You sign on the just as well as the unjust. Yes. And you have that same opportunity as somebody that's, you know, like us. We, saints and the ones out in the streets, they got the same opportunity. They chose not to.
So
they the one going to have to, you know, pay the cost for it.
Right.
Our job is to get out there and, you know, minister to them.
Also, the Old Testament, God took care of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't play.
Yeah.
He didn't zap, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old Testament, God, he, you know.
Well,
I had somebody to say just to me earlier today, and they were saying that, well, what they had a hard time with was the fact that if God, they said, well, sin and all this stuff started with God. So they're saying, so why is it that all the pressure or the responsibility is put on a person to govern themselves to be right? And he said, when God can just do away with it right there, so why, you know, why? I don't understand. It was like they were questioning, you know, God and saying, well, why don't he just do something about all this? And he see all this stuff happening in the world, you know, and everything. Why don't he just do something, you know, about it? That why should we have to be trying to resolve all this issue when he's the one, he's the creator of all things, they said, you know.
Good and bad.
So, and that's the take on it. But I also, as I was listening, you think about the hardness, because they said God hardens the heart, because after a long period of time of hearing and not still not believing, then it's like God will harden the heart. I was hearing a lot of hardness coming out of that, and which let me know, I guess, where the heart of the person was and how they were speaking and saying that, and let me know that they were not converted, you know, even though you're hearing the word, but you still, you know, like I told him, I said, well, for me, I can only express for myself. It's like, you know, I look at it as this is God's thing. The whole universe, he created it all, and he can do whatever he wants. And so for me, and knowing that, that's enough to make me fear and reverence him and say he can do whatever he wants, Lord. Because and so he said, well, are you serving this God so that you don't go to hell? He's like, for me, it's a done deal as far as that, because he told you in here what to do in order to accept his plan in order to be saved. But salvation isn't just the end of it. we still have a work to do.
Sure.
Within ourselves, where we're working out our own salvation with trembling and fear. I said, so with me, I'm looking at it like, God, whatever you say, I don't have no beef with you. I am not warring with God about what he's done, because I know he can do whatever he wants to do. So, and with that, you know, it's like, that's where I am with it. And I'm not still sitting here trying to question, well, God, why didn't you, you know, why, you know, I had another friend that told me, she said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he gave me this nappy hat.
Oh, no, she did.
I said, girl, girl, you better stop. I said, you get there, you're going to be, where you going to glad you got hair on your head.
Well, you know, I just want to just put a pin in. What you said, I hear it often. Go back to Genesis when God said to Adam and Eve, out of all the trees and everything, you can have freely.
Uh-huh.
But this one,
right.
Don't touch or eat. Touch or eat. Lest you surely will die. What did that beautiful cobra with all that color and everything that was so beautiful, standing straight up to her, saying, with an element of truth in his lie, what did he say? If you eat, you will surely be like God.
Right.
And no, that's the same spirit that's operating, that has the people's hearts blinded.
Yes.
See, God, what God does is not literally harden your heart. What he does is he removes his grace from you. See, and when the grace is removed from you, you're in darkness, you're fumbling around, and you're grazing off of whatever you can to eat to survive, and whatever tastes good to you, you will ingest it and so forth. But that's that spirit. That's that spirit that is just manifested in different fashions, in different ways with generations. Now we're in the most intellectual information age of all.
Yes, it's true.
You know, it's nothing new to God, because a lot of things we're doing, they've done before, but we're doing it in a different sense. You know, because of the insatiable appetite for sin.
And questioning everything, because you would question, and people have questions. Well, why did God put the tree in the garden?
Yeah, and see, that the thing is that when this is me personally, when you question God, that is because you believe more in yourself.
Absolutely.
And your ability, and so forth. So how can this unseen, invisible be when I have this? You know, I've had Christians tell me, well, God gave me a good brain, so I just know I need to go ahead. And I said, well, remember, acknowledge him in all thy ways. That's why he's telling you.
That's right.
Because your brain ain't as good as you think it
is.
No, that little 6 inches between your ears ain't worth doodly squat when it comes down to the wisdom, the infinite wisdom of God who speaks things and they come into existence. And like Pastor said, he said, and it was there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He didn't, you know, oh, man. Come on, Brother James.
Well, the thing is, all of this we're saying, even from Genesis up to now, is God wants you to choose.
That's right.
That's right.
He gave you the choice of free will. Why did he put the tree there? He wants to see what you do.
That's what
he brought things to Adam to see what Adam was.
That's right. It's your choice.
He made you to be able to make a decision.
Right. See? No robots.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now you choose life or death.
Right.
That's
he doesn't get any glory out of making you do something.
That's right.
God gets glory out of
when
you.
Yes.
And I told him, I said, that was why I was Satan. When he rose up, and the third was, they were thrown out because that same spirit that was there coming against God, like, who do you think you're asking God? So I said, no, that's what questions will lead to. It will lead you away from, you know, what the truth is, you know.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh.
It's like, man, it's like, and I said, that goes to show, I mean, where the heart is, because if you're still questioning that conversion is not taking place there in the heart, because if it is, then you're saying yes and amen to what is in here, you know, all the promises of God in him.
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. I don't have no beef.
Amen.
You say
amen.
It, I believe it.
All
you
right.
Know, and I told him, I said, that's when he put us in the garden, and God has already said, for man, to take dominion. That has been his charge mm-hmm. to us, to take dominion. Because he was saying, well, why is all this stuff that's going on the earth? And I said, that was just like what Pastor said, you know, on yesterday when he was talking about how even in this day, sin is so much more magnified. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think the internet and ooh, all that right. stuff is it's a good thing and it's of the Lord. But anything that's good can be taken to the other extreme.
Yes.
That's there. So now you don't just have people talking about it. There's a visual that you can pull up on your phone right there. It's mm-hmm. at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that thing still?
Yeah, we got to, for the sake of time, we're going to try and finish up this chapter 16 because we only got four more verses real quick. So if we could get somebody to read verses 17 to 18 and then someone 19 to 20 and the last verse 21.
And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done.
Ooh.
And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake such as was not seen since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great.
Okay, who has 19 and 20?
Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell.
Mm-hmm.
And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, about 60 pounds. Men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great.
Mm. So here we now, we're at the seventh plague.
Yeah, a 60-pound hailstone fall.
Mm. The destruction of the wicked from the throne of the temple of heaven. A great voice is heard saying, it's done, it's done.
Mm.
The cup of human guilt has been filled up. The true character of the great city Babylon has been unmasked, and God's people have been delivered. Finally, the seventh plague destroys the wicked. As the battle of Armageddon commences, God sends great hail on the wicked and strikes the entire world, the entire world, with a mighty earthquake that levels whole mountain ranges, causing islands to sink beneath the waves and leaves the cities on earth to ruins. This earthquake takes place in connection with the return of Christ. Somebody turn to Isaiah 2, chapter 2, verses 19 and 21, and someone go finger back to Revelation 6, 14 to 17. Who has Isaiah 2?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Isaiah 2, 19?
19 to 21.
Okay, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth
mm-hmm.
for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth.
Mm-hmm.
In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats.
Mm.
Who has Revelation 16, 14? 14 to 17. Revelation 6, rather. 14 to 17. Revelation 6, 14 to 17. Revelation 6.
6. 14, so.
I thought you had it.
Huh? Revelation 6:14.
Yeah, 14 and 17.
Then the sky receded as a scroll, receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place.
Mm-hmm.
The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in caves in the rocks and the mountain, and said to the mountains and rock, fall on me and hide me from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand?
So the great cities The great city divides into the parts, three parts. As support for Babylon dries up and the alliances between its members disintegrates, Babylon is judged and punished for her sins and drinks the wine of the fierceness of his wrath to the full. So there we are. But for your study time, if you go back and you want to read what we did, chapters we did, please get those scriptures that I referenced so that you can get a better, because you can see now how you can, how what you get in Revelation is all, there's supporting scripture in Isaiah. Mm. Or as the, my Caribbean brothers and sisters say, Isaiah. So, any questions or comments? I know this is a lot to digest in an hour. But
did the Bible say how Cyrus got the word from God?
No, God, but just like, well, you know, God speaks to him, just like he speaks to you. You know, he may have wrote it in the sand, or, you know, spoke in the spirit, you know, or maybe sent, you know, all we know is that God sent it, he got it, and he did it. You know, see, I had a question a long time ago myself, like, how can you hear from God? Well, when you're a believer, the longer you mature in your relationship with the Lord, the more sensitive you get, and the more you hear him in different ways, you know. But unbelievers, see, he make it real clear to them. He just make it real clear to them what they're going to do, and they don't have a choice. And then, you know, have people say, I don't know why I'm doing this. Yeah, I do.
Well, I'd like to say, like you said, how to hear from Cyrus, how did Cyrus hear from God? Well, I remember in our discussion today that God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
So, God can talk to you through your mind, your thoughts. God is not like Satan. He can control what he wants to say to you. He can give it to you in a dream, a thought, a vision. These are some of the ways that he communicates without actually sending even an angel to you. So I would say that since what we read, like in history, Cyrus is not given credit for being a prophet or anything connected to God, we would have to assume that God communicated with him just like he did with Pharaoh.
All right, so we have completed Revelation 16. Next week we will be going into chapter 17. God willing, we will all be here. And we thank our friends on the podcast, and we pray God's blessings on all of you all, and that the word of God will strengthen you and give you the knowledge and discernment that you need day by day, in Jesus' name.